Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Truth Hurts, and you're listening to my boy, Ricky Romance, No Filter, on iHeartRadio.
Yo, what up, y'all? This is your boy, Ricky Romance, and this is the Ricky Romance No Filter podcast. That's right, y'all. We back, and we better than ever. You know what I'm saying? The number one podcast on iHeartRadio. Let's go. Yeah, we running. We stay ready, man. We always ready, man. Yo, what up, Stevie, man? You ready to, man, go ahead and, man, drop it like it's hot, man?
Why drop it like it's lukewarm, cold, whatever temperature?
Come on, man. You know what time it is, y'all. This is the Ricky Romance No Filter podcast here with my boy, Stevie Nunes.
Yeah, it's time to get messy. Yeah,
man, we about to dig in, y'all. We got a very special guest right here. This lady right here is a legend in her own right. Her name is Truth Hurts. From all her wonderful hit records. You guys remember her from seeing her on some of your favorite movies like Ali, with Will Smith, The Watch with Snoop and Dre, The Parkers. You heard her music everywhere. She's got hits. Y'all known her from that dope-ass track called Addictive. I mean, this girl is doing her thing. She got a new single out right now called Cheated. And you guys, man, without further ado, Stevie.
Miss Truth Hurts herself. What's going on, Truth Hurts?
Yes.
We happy to have you.
Yo, Truth, what's up with it?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Nice and clear.
Okay, can I just tell y'all I'm a complete dummy? I'm sitting in front of a ring light and everything.
No, it's all good. Because we couldn't get Stevie hair and makeup done today, we decided we weren't gonna do video. So we was like, you know what, maybe Truth is just like doing the audio today, and we bring her back on camera again for when you drop your next single and the project, because we're just so interested in hearing about all this.
Great. Hey, I prefer it this way anyway. It's all good.
That's what's up. So, Truth, you got the new single out. Is it okay if I call you Truth, or do you want everybody to call you Truth Hurts?
You can call me Truth.
Okay. All right. You know, I just feel when I say Truth, I feel just a little more closer to you. You know what I mean? It's just a little more personal. You know what I mean? Like so many, like millions of fans all around the world, you know, I've been a fan of your music, you know what I mean, since you came on the scene in the early 2000s. I mean, I love the record that you did with Busta Rhymes. The Addictive record, you know, that's still playing like it just came out yesterday.
Right.
You know, man, you know, I remember seeing you in the movie The Wash. I don't know how many people remember that. The classic movie with Snoop and Dre. You feel me?
So yes.
You've been doing a lot of stuff. Another thing I bet you didn't know. You were in the movie Ali with you made a cameo, right?
With Will Smith. I did.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was in that movie too.
You were? Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm no, tell I didn't you know. What part.
Okay, so let me tell you. So I went to James DeBarge, okay? Mm-hmm. L's brother from DeBarge. And I was like, yo, let me borrow one of them DeBarge suits from the 70s, right? I threw that suit on, and they had me pull up. I was signed up with Central Casting. They had me come out to the LA Sports Arena. And we shot a scene. That's where they were shooting the boxing scene. And I think I'm in chapter 21. When you go to chapter 21, and I was one of the ringside pimps, or one of the ringside players. So I had my big ass gold chain on. You can't miss me. I had a big ass Lion King chain on. Looked like with the Versace logo. I thought I was the shit. You couldn't tell me nothing, man. I got good camera time. People to this day still tell me they see me. So I'm like, man, this is a trip. Me, I'm like, this is my castmate. We was in the movie together.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, just you know, it's exciting. You know what I mean? To know that we were actually in a movie together.
That's we need to be in more movies together.
Hey, you listen. You never know what the universe has to offer. I'm starting my acting career so I can, you know, step out and do more bigger projects like you. You know, girl, I'm trying to do it.
Yeah.
So you just came back in the country. Is that? Am I tripping? You were touring overseas, correct?
I was living overseas for a minute.
Oh.
Yeah, because wow. I was getting a lot of work in Europe and Turkey, sometimes Dubai. You know, it was more lucrative for me over there. And I ended up meeting someone there that I ended up married to and having a child with. We're on our way out the door with our situation. But over the years, I was in Austria, Vienna, Austria, off and on for, I want to say, like 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's a long time. That's like half a decade.
I know, right? Well, like I said, back and forth. So like we would spend like a year in Austria. And then at one point I had come back to Atlanta. Then we went back to Austria again. And then I came back to LA. So, you know,
so I'm guessing you married a millionaire to go live in a whole nother country.
No, not a millionaire at all.
Come on, you being modest.
Not a millionaire at all. No, no, he's actually a big DJ over there in Europe. And he's, you know, he ends up staying, of course, because he's working. But we had did it work out for what?
Did him being a big DJ, did that work out for your career?
Well, he was on the road with me a lot. That was how we ended up, you know, kind of getting together, falling in love. And we were like joined at the hip for a long time.
Stevie, man, that dude was lucky, boy.
It's so funny because
I was your DJ.
Because I definitely
well, you know,
was
that's
gonna...
big over there. They love DJs over there. You know, it's a whole different culture. So, you know, they right. celebrate the DJ
yes,
more
do.
Than they do the artist sometimes. So, yeah.
Yeah, they'll sell out a whole arena.
Yeah.
Like DJs in Europe, oh, and overseas, they'll sell out. But listen, that's funny because I wanted to get into something called Truth or Dare.
Uh-oh.
So let's get messy, okay? This is for the Messy Palace, too. So listen, you on two shows right now. You're on the Ricky Romance show, and you're on our other show called the Messy Palace, 2-for-1 special. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So
double exposure.
So a Truth or Dare. So come on, Ricky. You went into my first one, which was, is it true you in love?
I'm not in love.
No, true. I'm asking Truth Hurts.
Is it true that I'm in love? No, I'm not in love.
What is love for you? Like, how do you fall in love?
How do I fall in love? Well, that's interesting. Because I believe just when two people's souls connect and the synergy is perfect, you know, the whole situation just lines up and there's a great attraction to put the icing on the cake.
I know that's
so,
right.
Yeah, so for me, yeah, it's definitely a soul connection. It's definitely a soul connection with the attraction added to the twist.
Is it true that you was in love?
Yes, I was.
How did that love, like, how did you find love at that time?
It depends on which love you're talking about. But
I don't know. It depends what you want to talk about.
Okay.
Right? It's all on you. It's all on you,
hey,
baby. It's
hey,
all
Stevie,
on you.
Stevie, too. Hey, true. So, you know, Stevie's my messy counterpart, but he knows to be respectful.
Always.
To a queen and to a legend. You feel me?
Two-Face can't stop it, Ricky.
No, it's all good. It's all good. You know, if you carry a name like Truth, you have to be prepared for these things. So.
Brother Truth. Hello.
So it's all good. So good. I have to say how I fell in love with my husband. You know, I talk about this all the time with people because it's changed recently. Well, first of all, he cheated on me. Okay. He ended up cheating on me because we separated a lot. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what my new single is about. We ain't gonna go into that yet. I'll say we fell in love
single bastard featuring Ricky Roman.
I'll say we fell in love, and I always say this, you know, we were traveling a lot. The conditions were right to fall in love. We were always on the road, in a different country all the time, so it was a beautiful situation. I say when we got settled down in a home together is when it got tricky. and shit got, you know, too normal for us to be who we were when we fell in love, you know, because we had been together for 11 years. We met in 2010. And we have an 8-year-old son, actually almost 9-year-old son. Mm-hmm.
So is it true that that's your second love, your son?
Yes. I have, I got 3 kids. I got three loves and children. So yeah, they
are my love.
So
what's the difference between a motherly love and a husbandly love? Like, you know, you're in a relationship. What's the difference?
It's more of an agape love. It's more of a pure love, like how people
unconditional,
how people feel God feels for them. It's more of a, you know, it's pure. It's because it's nothing they can do wrong. They can't cheat on me. It's nothing they can do wrong. They can do the craziest stuff in the world, and my love for them is still going to withstand anything that they ever do.
And my last true for dare question would be, is it true you have a real strong love for the Lord? Come on. It is true. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Stevie, how do you know she want to get religious, Stevie? We gotta give it all.
I always love to talk about the Lord. Look, I have no shame.
You might as well ask her, she's a Trump supporter.
I have no shame. My love for the Lord withstands the test of time, okay?
Amen. Preach.
Because I have to say this. I have to say, you know, it always comes back to that love. Right. I go out here and I do an abundance of things, and you know, I have to say I've even shamed the Lord sometimes, and I have to come back and say, you know what? You've always loved me. Since the beginning.
Right.
You got my back.
Yo, unwavering grace.
It's unwavering because I can tell you got my back. Okay? It always comes back to this love. So, you know, that's the truth right there. That's the real truth of all truths.
That's it, Ricky. You see, I wasn't being so messy. And, you know, and Ricky, you got to turn, the messy turns into a message. Did you not know? We got to make sure that.
Yes, it does. Not just,
you know, it's a, you know how that go. But we could go right. Do we want to get into the music though, Ricky? I want to get into this new music.
I mean, we are. I mean, you know, I still want to talk about her. I still want to talk about this. Wonderful career that she's worked with everybody. I mean, you know, what was it like, you know, working with Jay-Z? I see that you worked and done stuff with Jay-Z and R. Kelly, and you know, I mean, you work with the biggest names in the industry, from Dr. Dre to DJ Quick. I mean, yeah. do you feel that you reached the highest level that you can reach in your career?
No, but let me answer that question. That was like a fourfold question. So I did not actually work in the studio with Jay-Z. What happened with that track is that Eminem wanted it first. And so I actually flew to Detroit and worked at Eminem's house on that track.
At his house?
At his house. Yes.
What?
I flew to Detroit. I stayed there maybe 24 to 48 hours. Well, at that time, you know, he was still working with Dre on I want to say his second album, because he had already put out that first joint.
So he didn't have no money.
I'm trying to remember the timeline, but yes, he wanted that particular song. It was a remix of something Dre had already done, but he loved the track so much, and Dre is notorious for doing dope stuff and not putting it out. So Eminem was like, I want that track. I'm gonna put it out. So we went and did vocals on the entire thing. I sang the parts that I sang on
The Watcher 2.
The Watcher 2.
On Jay-Z's Blueprint 2 album. Wow.
And Eminem didn't end up using it either. So here comes Jay-Z. He ends up picking it up. He heard it in the studio when he was sitting in with Dr. Dre. And he's like, I want this. And I want you to keep the vocal on there and everything. And I'm just gonna use it.
So what was it like collaborating with R. Kelly? You did a collaboration with
a nightmare.
For real?
A nightmare. It was, yeah. Well,
he tried to grow up all over you.
No. Mm-mm. He tried to play me. So they asked us to come out to Florida, but I have to say, in his defense, even though I'm not defending him, that was when the stuff started with all of the cases against him. They were just beginning. So he had moved out to Florida and kind of was hiding away, and so he was using his studio out there, which I later came to find was
that's
the studio.
When that video came.
Yeah, was the studio that some of those girls was in the back and using the bathroom in a damn bucket, but we won't go there. But that's the studio that I ended up coming to in Florida. And he had me sitting the first day we got there, me and the GM of Aftermath, which was a female. We were sitting in the studio waiting for him, literally, I can't make this up, for about 8 to 10 hours, and he never showed. So we ended up going back to the hotel, and they were like, yeah, he, you know, he had some problems. There was a funeral, blah, blah, blah. He's supposed to be back, so can y'all just come back about 12 tomorrow? So we, you know, came back the next day. We waited. He sent in Tone from Tone and Poke to play some tracks. We were like, where's he? Where's R. Kelly? He wasn't there. They were like, he had a funeral to attend. He's still grieving.
Did he show up?
He ended up showing up, but he didn't show up until I got an attitude and I got real St. Louis up and down.
So what they do in St. Louis? Y'all, would y'all get Eastie or Southie?
Eastie.
Oh shit!
Well, maybe a little mix of Southie. I don't know, but we just get ignorant.
A little messy. Yeah.
So wait a second. So okay, so you and R. Kelly cross paths, obviously. So let me ask you a question: what is R. Kelly's personality like?
At the time, he was just really strange, and you know, and like I said, I know he was going through what he was going through, but I would have rather they just said this is not a good time to work. Let's not do this right now. But I think Jimmy Iovine kind of pressed the situation, you know, and wanted us to go out there because Dre wasn't pressed. He was like, yeah, she don't have to go out there and do that right now. You know, it's probably not a good time. Dude has got, you know, charges against him, blah, blah, blah. But Jimmy was like, yeah, just go out there and do it.
Were you ever alone with him?
No, I would never be.
Did you have like discernment not to be alone? These kind of men.
Did he try to get you on the phone alone or
I have to say I always have discernment about any man in the business and being alone and all of that. If I don't know you and I'm going to work, you know, it's not appropriate for me. So, you know, I had the GM with me and she could bear witness that we waited forever for him to show up. And when he finally showed up, he came in the room because he was mad. With his head half braided and half not, with his head cocked to the side. And I said, oh, the funeral's over. And he slams down in the chair. And he's like, so what's up with the tracks? Why you don't like the tracks? They said they sound like Destiny's Child. I said, well, they aren't me. I said, did you listen to my records? And he's like, wait, where you from again? I was like, Midwest, my nigga. Midwest, just like you. Like, don't come up in here playing, you know, because that's not what this is. So we exchanged a couple of words, and I ended up leaving the studio. And when I say the song that he wrote was based on that exchange, the song that he wrote, he sent us like maybe 48 hours later, the song was done, and I had to go back and record it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. These stories, we got some gems.
This is some real juice. This is some real tea right here. So, okay. So, I noticed also that you worked with Eve. Was that the same situation? Was that a similar, or did you guys actually work in?
Yeah, me and Eve came up together when she originally started. She was on Aftermath before she went to Rough Riders. So I wrote "Love Is Blind." And I started the song off. And she tried to replace me and not credit me after she went to Rough Riders and put Faith Evans on it. But I was like, hold up, wait a minute, we're not doing that.
Right.
So I ended up getting credited for the song, and back pay on the song, and then we ended up working together again when she came back to work with Dre again later on.
It's one of her biggest songs for me. Love is Blind is like one of the most powerful songs that she's ever. Wow.
For real.
Dang, you giving us some truth today.
You had to be on a you had to be like on a like a super, super duper like high. You know what I mean? At the time, I think B2K, my brother and them, they were out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We were like touring.
Yeah.
You were everywhere. Like, I mean,
I was hustling
you on everything.
Yeah, I was hustling. I was out there just trying to get it, you know, just moving around and getting it done.
I mean, you was. What was it like? What was it like after you know, after you did the Smoking Grooves tour with Lauryn Hill and Outkast?
Ooh, that was interesting.
You had CeeLo Green on there.
It was funny. I have a funny story about that.
Please tell us.
You know,
this was in the summer of 2002, y'all.
Yes. And you know, my son, my youngest son's name is Prince. Well, his father's name is Prince. But when I was young, I always said that I would marry Prince Rogers Nelson. I was in love and I was his biggest fan. I was determined that I was his biggest fan. My room was purple. I cut my hair off like his when I was in high school. That was it for me. Like, he did it for me, Prince. So I said that to say, fast forward to the Smoking Grooves. I heard he was in the audience in Minnesota. I said, you got to be kidding me. Prince Rogers Nelson is at the soundboard.
Oh, like, that's yes. Lit.
Soon as my show was over, I ran out there to see him. Ran out there, ran to the soundboard and was like, hey, listen, I'm your biggest fan. I'm definitely your biggest fan. And he turned to me and he smiled and he said, okay, he said, but I'm here to see Lauryn Hill.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yes, he did. And I took all of that. I took all of that shade. I took all of that shade. Do you hear me? I said, it's okay. I'm still your number one fan when you get them talking.
Oh, my God.
he saved Tree Dale out of me.
but you actually had a chance to talk to him, though.
Yes. That was everything to me. So I didn't even care about the words that was coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, okay. You got a chance to talk to him. That's crazy.
Yes, like, he came to the show.
He knew who you was.
He knew exactly who I was. He just didn't like what Dre did on me because he came around later on my second LP when I worked with Raphael Sadiq. He told Raphael that I had finally done an album in his eyes.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What does that mean?
That meant that, you know, the second album is more live. It's more instrumental.
It's more you. It's more you and not all the big production.
I think that's what he meant. I think that's what he meant. I don't think he really has respect for people like Dre. You know, I don't think he thinks people like that should be, may he rest in peace, people like that should be doing R&B records or soul.
Wait, so, man, who rests in peace?
Prince.
Oh, right. I don't know. I was thinking. I'm like, wait. I'm like, Raphael Sadiq. I'm like, no.
No.
You never raised in Southern California.
Stop it. No.
You know my heart.
No, Prince said all of this to Raphael Sadiq.
Right.
Which was in turn told to me.
Can I get messy real quick?
Were signed to Raphael Sadiq, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah. For the second
album.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Who do you regret meeting? Who is like that person? Because I, you know, I have my regrets. So I was like, Lord, I wish I never met this person in the industry. Who do you regret? If you could go back and erase somebody from your world, who would it be?
I don't have feelings that are that strong about anybody.
Right.
I don't. And I'm sitting here honestly like racking my brain trying to think about who I wish I never met. It's not that strong. There are people that I don't respect, but there's nobody I can say, ooh, I wish I could change the hands of time and I never met you. Mm-mm. Because I believe that, you know, you meet everybody for a reason.
Right.
Whatever that reason is.
Right.
You know, I know I've met some celebs that, you know, I met because I'm not supposed to be like them. You know, their attitude, the way they carry themselves, you know, you're not supposed to be that person. I will say Wendy Williams was one of those people. She's incredibly nasty and horrible to me. And, you know, I don't talk about people, but I know I still met her for a reason, you know.
Right.
I don't never want to be like that. And
so you did an interview with her?
I had an argument with her. I didn't do an interview with her. What happened was she had got on her radio show in New York back in the day and called me a man and said she had more than reason to believe, like she had facts that I was a
she's
match.
The one that everybody says is damn she's the one
girl.
Well, she's definitely, yeah, definitely
she
the one.
How can she say that about
right,
you?
Right, exactly. Why would you
no
even,
way do you look like that.
And, but why would you even lead people to believe that you have factual information on it? And I got 3 kids that came out my ass. Okay. Right, last time yeah. I checked, they ain't been able to restructure that yet.
Let's just keep let me make you feel any better. She's messy. I went to her party one time and she had me fucking throw a fucking bucket of ice on Dream. The next morning I'm on her show with fucking Charlamagne. So she created the whole shit.
Wow. Well, when I met her, she dropped her pants to show me her tattoo because you know she had the operation. She dropped her pants, showed me. And like I was like, we were at the Wendy show, and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, do you like it like this? Should I put my pants down or should I lift them up? I'm like, this woman is a mess. Do you think that everything that's happening to her is her karma?
I do.
Do you believe in karma?
And yeah, I'm gonna tell you, I do. I believe it was the final call when she did that to Tabitha. That was the final word she had. You don't put your mouth on God's elect, okay? And when Tabitha served her that truth, she served her. That was her last call. You hear me? Because shortly after that, everything started unfolding and unraveling. Yeah.
Wow, you woke that up. You know, your truth hurts. You know, I kind of feel like you should have a podcast called Truth Hurts, but because you really have some stories that are really interesting, and I feel like you're very truthful.
Yes. Mm. It's going to be called Truthfully Speaking.
Truthfully Speaking. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey, she's gonna be joining us over here. She's gonna be joining.
Yeah, I would love to.
She's gonna be joining the family.
That's what I'm saying. I need her
y'all gonna hear like, more truth.
I like her. Like I like the vibe and I like truth, right?
Thank you.
I feel the truth shall set you free. Actually, the truth makes you free. So people that are truthful and living their truth is what I like to be around, you know.
Yeah, me too.
You can unpack a lot. You could you know what you see is what you get. So shout out to you. Yeah, Wendy, that is strong. And, you know, and this is a podcast. And she's, for me, you know, she's starting this podcast. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's time for some new Wendy's. I mean, I don't want to say Wendy's because there's some. I just hope that the next people go about it in a different way. You know?
Yeah, because you know what? They just have this way about them in New York that, you know, they feel the need to insult, to blow people up, to do what they do. You know, at the cost of other people's, you know,
lives.
You know, and I don't agree with the way that they do things. I think there's a way to do everything, and I just feel like they haven't tapped into it yet, and it's sickening. It's sickening how they do things over there.
Well, it's easier to insult people and to do that type of work than to be very smart, intellectual, and speak. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like when you feel like you have to curse because you can't replace it with another word.
Amen.
You know, it's harder. You could just curse.
Right.
Because cursing is easy.
Because it's easy. And you can get somebody's attention that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Ricky, I like, you know what? I really like you. It's crazy.
I like you too.
I'm glad you like her. Don't be liking her too much, you know, because we, you know,
you jealous?
And then, you know, I'm taking her out to lunch, man.
You jealous?
No, Stevie, come on, man. You can come with us, man. We gonna do it. We gonna have a big powwow.
Yeah.
Well, truth hurts. The truth is, if you come out with me, you need to have flats, heels, probably another pair of heels.
So,
dance.
Stevie.
Yeah.
Stevie, you gotta tell her where you at, Stevie.
I got flats. Yeah. Where are you? Where are you?
I'm in Florida. So,
oh, you're in Florida. Oh my gosh. And wait, Ricky, where are you? You're in
Vegas.
Right?
We're in the party states.
Yes. So this is from Vegas to Florida to LA.
Ooh, to New York and back to LA.
Where else in the world you could actually like do this? It's so crazy. Only on a podcast.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you some truth, right? So let's get this. Today is all about the truth, Ricky. Okay, it's about the messy truth. Who would you work with? Who is like someone that you're like from now? Who would you work with?
Who would I work with?
Like an artist.
I would love an artist or a producer.
An artist.
What's this guy's name? Khalid?
Khalid, yes.
I really like him. Oh, I really would love to do a joint with somebody like him. Also, Lucky Day.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few. There's a few legacy types.
You're hearing it first, right here.
Yeah, there's a few legacy types that I would just love to sit in with. Just to spread magic, man.
We're gonna have to tag them on the.
Yeah, we're gonna have to make some stuff happen, Stevie. We're gonna have to. We got to put some stuff together, man. This girl right here, man, everybody needs to hear her.
Yeah. Man, but Khalid is definitely dope.
Back in the States, like, wow.
Yeah, and there's some Niger artists too, like, you know, WizKid, Burna Boy.
Yeah,
I like what they're doing as well. I love that African magic they're putting out there. Yes. I love it.
You need another. I mean, we're gonna get into this, but like, you need another record like that one, like an Afro beat.
Yes,
like Afro beats.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. You would kill it.
I know. It's gotta happen.
So you know, I gotta touch the surface. I gotta scratch just around the surface, just a little.
What surface? What you talking about?
You feel me? So everybody, you know, because people, you know what I'm saying? You got a big ass hit. You know, Addicted is a really good record. You know what I mean? You know, produced by Dr. Dre, and you got Rakim on that
DJ
track.
DJ Quick.
Oh, wait. That is a quick track.
It is. Dre put some things on there. He's the one that got, you know, so he operated in a Quincy Jones capacity on that joint. So he got Rakim on it, of course. He made the whole picture come together. So you have to say he's production as well. But when people say, who put that track together, you know, I have to say Quick. I have to give my brother his flowers.
That's dope. That's dope, man. Hats off to Quick. I mean, I remember being with James DeBarge, we went to Quick's house up in the house he had in Porter Ranch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he made us some egg pizza. You feel
me? He always cooking. He used to always come make us tacos.
Chef Quick.
Yeah.
And so I'm tripping, you know, Skip Sailor days, you know what I mean?
Skip Sailor days, yeah.
And so I'm just, wow, Quick. Quick did that.
Yep. It's my birthday.
So what happened with that lawsuit? It was like $500 million.
Well, here's the thing. When my brother made the track, he sampled the sample from, he was in the shower. He was literally wet, running out of the shower, and he heard that on some like foreign music channel, right? And he taped it from there. I don't even know how he got the clarity out of it, but he Quick taped it genius. From there. He's a genius, man.
Quick is a genius.
So apparently they thought they cleared it, you know, when the lawyers spoke, but they didn't clear. Something fell through the, you know, cracks. So he thought he did. And, you know, we didn't think it would be so big that it would be a problem, but it was.
You see how you doubt yourself and girl, you might just be doing a record like, oh, that ain't nothing.
Right.
Everything that you do is big.
Right. Well, everybody thought that record was so strange that it wasn't even a single. And so we didn't even officially put the single out because Jimmy didn't like it. He was like, we should put the R. Kelly single out first. So that's all.
Are you talking about Jimmy Iovine?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, these young listeners, they don't know who Jimmy is.
Jimmy Iovine.
Interscope, you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, he didn't like it.
Just go watch some American Idol reruns and you'll see him all day.
Right.
So you know we gotta play that Cheetah record. Stevie.
Let's get it.
We gotta get into that record. So can you tell us a little bit about this record, Cheetah?
I'm gonna say this. Musically, I am someone different since Dr. Dre and Rafael Sadiq. I feel like the music that I do now, I'm just ready to be way more honest, and I am ready to be way more musical and just, man, just authentic in what I put out there. So I'm not really tripping off of people who want to hear more Addictive, who want to hear more of what Dre did. I'm not really in that headspace. So whether you like it or not, I'm putting my truth down on record.
You heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to Ain't that right,
Thank
Stevie?
You.
Yeah,
Thank
who you worked with on this record?
My own team. My wow. own team. I have Amazing. I have Shout my own. Them. One of the guys is from France. His name is CD Beats. He's from Paris.
Okay.
But he's living in the UK right now. And the other guy is this musical genius. He's my little secret, my little magic piece that the world has
secret yet
to see. Right. I don't want him to get out there too far. Like Kanye, right. Kanye tried to grab him, but you know he was on the road doing Kanye's Sunday service with him for a while. He's worked with a lot of people in the business, just on a small scale. But he works with me on a huge scale. He does everything with me. His name is Chaz Mason.
Okay, and shout out to Chaz.
Yeah, shout out to Chaz. So I wanted to kind of develop my own thing. You know, I'm tired of sounding like everybody, what everybody else is doing.
You know, you are a legend in your own right. You are a timeless artist.
Thank you.
Your music never goes out of style. I mean, we really love, you know, this new record, Cheated. We can't wait to play it for all the listeners.
You want to intro it? You want to intro it?
Stevie, you got it, man. We'll let her go ahead and say her shout outs. If you want to shout anybody out, we're going to get to this record and then we're going to get it.
Well, I already shouted out the most important people, the people that helped me make this record, which is Chaz and CD. CD probably won't hear this. He's kind of far out there, but I'll send him, you know, the show. And just all of my people that are still fanning with me, all of my truth dwellers, anybody out there that still believes in what I'm doing, continue to listen, continue to back your girl up. I got some real special stuff coming very, very, very soon. Mm. And this single, Cheated, is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. We're about to release another one soon as well.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Here's Cheated. Truth Here's hurts. Cheated.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys. Thank you, Truth.
Thank you.
Hey, hey, what's up? This is your girl, Truth Hurts. Check out my new single, Cheated, available now on all digital music platforms. But if you cheated, your girl, Truth. Mwah. What you wanna talk about when the damage has been done? How you figure I respect anything that comes up off your tongue? Tell me now, cause I'm confused. Yeah. What the fuck is it you're going through? Yeah, you got a lot of nerve leaving me home with these kids after all we talked about. Shit that you already did. Now you wanna make amends. Yeah. Where are you now? I'm with your friends. But if you cheated. Not sorry. I hope you mean it.
I hope you.
Cause you probably repeat it. But if you cheated, did you love it or you beat it? Hope you didn't eat it. Cause I know we've been through a lot of shit lately. Up and down, in and out, back and forth, in and out. Ooh, but now, maybe I'll retaliate.
Ooh, maybe I should pack a bag or slap you in.
Oh, but if you cheated,
but if you,
and you're not sorry,
if you're not sorry,
I hope you mean it.
I hope you.
Your back, be on your way, and revisit this another.